there have been quite a few industrial strategies over the years. Peter Hennessy from the House of Lords Committee likes to remind us that there have been 9 in his memory. And if you include those that have a sectoral or geographic focus, then it's rather more than that. So the question I suppose we could start with is, what makes this one different? And I'll turn to the Prime Minister for the answer to that question, because actually this one is different insofar as it is presented by the government as a key part of the preparation for Brexit. And that provides it with characteristics, or you would think should provide it with characteristics, that are actually quite distinct from some of the others. It's presented to us in 10 so-called pillars, and I'll return to those pillars and the relationship between them and some of the ones that are not there but might be later on in this presentation. I want to say a few words about the context in which the strategy was prepared. Not just because I'm a former civil servant, but I think most of us would recognise that the people writing this strategy were operating in an unusually turbulent context. And it must have been difficult to reach a settled position on the text when you've got all of this activity going on around you, much of which touches individual pillars of the strategy. So you're trying to write a chapter on regions when there's mayoral elections taking place. You're trying to cover the whole of the United Kingdom while the Scots are calling for another independence referendum. It must have been a bit tricky. And of course, the authors themselves were operating in new organizations. The Department for Business had just been created in its most recent incarnation. A Department of International Trade was created for the first time in quite a while. I have no insight into the level of input that the Department for Exiting the EU had in preparing the strategy, but given the way that the Prime Minister presented it, one imagines that they had quite a lot of say on its content. So both the authors and the environment were turbulent, and I, for one, think that in responding to the Green Paper, it's worth just sort of cutting them a bit of slack when you consider that challenge. A few observations, and I'll then sort of go into a little more depth. First of all, in the people I've spoken to, there's been nothing but a warm welcome for the concept of an industrial strategy which revisits the relationship between government, industry, and universities in a turbulent and stressful world. So conceptually, I hear nothing but support for it. This strategy also includes a prominent coverage of science and innovation, built on the foundations of the large increase in funding that was announced in the autumn statement. And while science and innovation might have reached further into the strategy, they were not confined entirely to the little box of their chapter. There was a little bit of spread. But at the end of the day, that list of 10 pillars looks awfully like the lists of 10 pillars that have been present in other industrial strategies. And one journalist called it the same old wish list. I think that's a harsh description, but I can recognize where they're coming from. Indeed, their lordships described this as resembling a portfolio of tactics rather than a coherent strategy. It has a very rich collection of tactical objectives and tactical initiatives. It's rather lighter on strategic objectives, and it's quite a bit lighter on coherence. So I want to now cover a few areas where I think the strategy makes a really constructive start, but it would be good if it could go further. And then I'll go on to cover some things that I think are missing from the strategy. First of all, it really is not obvious who is responsible for the delivery of this strategy and what the accountability chain is for that individual. When the House of Lords Committee took evidence from Nick Hurd, he suggested that the responsibility for delivery lies with the Prime Minister. Now, that is true in a technical sense, but I don't think that we can expect the Prime Minister to take a grip of operational delivery. And so I remain unclear about who it is that is actually responsible for delivering this, what goals they will be measured against, and what process will be used to hold them to account for that responsibility. I know it's only a consultation, but I think it would have been good to hear proposals for consultation on that front. The 10 pillars do connect together in places, but I don't read it, and I've read it several times, and I really don't see coherence in a strategy. I see cross-references, I can see attempts at linking it together, but the attempts are a bit weak in places. I've just picked out the relationship between science, trade, and regional development. Now, there are references to science in the regions pillar. That's okay. There's actually no reference at all to science in the trade chapter. And there is not this sense that if we want to address disparities in regional prosperity, then there are interplays between many of the pillars required to make it happen. And the challenges lie not so much in what goes on inside the individual pillars, but in making them work together harmoniously. That bit of the strategy just seems a bit light to me. There's a chapter on sectors which rightly identifies a number, I think five, important sectors of our economy and names prominent individuals who have agreed to take leadership roles in the contribution of those sectors to the overall strategy. And I take nothing away from that. I think that that is really super stuff. There's another reference with a bit less detail to emerging sectors, undefined, and there's certainly some warm words about how they might participate in the future. But there is an underlying assumption that the economy of the UK can be categorised by industry sectors. And that's in a world where we can observe every day the breakdown between conventional industry sectors and the emergence of businesses that are really quite difficult to categorise in a sector. And that's just what we can observe today. What about the stuff that is over the horizon? What about the businesses that are emerging over the time period that the strategy is preparing us for? I don't see as much recognition as I would like of that uncertain world, that world that is difficult to categorise, but that world that might well be the place where we earn a living. And so I think I take nothing away from the recognition of incumbent industries. That's the spine of the economy today. But I would quite like to see a bit more encouragement for the insurgents of tomorrow. Three gaps. Now, this is presented to us prominently as a strategy for the United Kingdom. And yet, several of the pillars are actually devolved to the four countries of the United Kingdom. Take skills, for example. Important areas of higher education policy. There is in the strategy an aspiration to have discussions between the governments of the four nations of the United Kingdom. But as far as I can tell, and I have spoken to people in both Wales and Scotland, the Scottish and Welsh administrations were not involved in the preparation of this strategy that is so proudly presented as covering the whole of the country. So there's a bit of a challenge there, given the differing political dispositions of the different governments. I'm not for a moment glossing over the difficulty of doing it, but it does feel to me as if there is a gap in how to handle the peculiar complexities of United Kingdom politics. And that complexity has just got greater with the election of mayors in cities who will get devolved powers that relate directly to some of the pillars in the strategy. One of the largest relationships between business and government lies in the domain of taxation and regulation. It's an area in which the United Kingdom might attempt to seize comparative advantage as we develop the economy outside the European Union. But there is no chapter on tax and regulation. It gets fleeting mention when I would have thought it should be one of the big themes of the strategy. Again, this is delicate stuff. When I looked at the exchange of correspondence between the Prime Minister and the European Union over the terms of Brexit negotiation, I noticed that there was a warning shot fired by the European Union that the UK shouldn't attempt to derive comparative advantage for itself by fiddling around with tax and regulation. And I couldn't help but smile because I was just, sort of, as I read that, I was composing this speech and sort of about to say sort of, you know, heated words about the absence of tax and regulation. It shows you how difficult it is to write a document which is presented to us as part of our preparations for Brexit and yet contains reference to some of the most sensitive areas of the Brexit negotiation, which brings us, of course, to the third bullet point on my slide, which is also absent from the strategy, and I don't suppose I need to explain to you how sensitive that is, how difficult it would be to write a strategy around immigration, and yet for businesses not just in the science, in the high technology, the scientifically intense areas of the economy, for businesses across the spectrum, there is a high dependence on immigrants at many different levels of skills. This is not just a postdoc problem. This is an issue that covers a wide range. So a few conclusions. I'll return to a warm welcome for the strategy because this country has got persistent challenges in addressing our relatively low productivity, the suboptimal regional distribution of prosperity, and the challenge of harvesting the benefits of the strong science base. And I think a strategy is a good way into this because each one of these is a complicated problem that requires complicated interactions between different facets of policy. And whether we like it or not, Brexit may well be a stimulus for actually getting on with some of these challenges instead of just commissioning another review and going around the thought process yet another time. So I think that the strategy is warmly welcomed by people I've spoken to, at least, has been prepared under difficult circumstances, is good in places, but requires quite a bit more work. Thank you for your attention.